Hey, if you got your Bibles, can you turn with me to Acts chapter 9? Acts chapter 9. I'm going to read a familiar passage of Scripture for many of us as we have been reading through the book of Acts together as a family. We just actually read this passage of Scripture a couple of days ago. So I want to draw your attention to that. And if you have not yet, I encourage you to do so, to get your iPhones or your smartphones out and to download the Cornerstone app. And to really participate in our reading together of the book of Acts. And each day we have an encouragement for you, just a summary of what you're reading. And it's been really powerful to hear the testimonies as we read through the book of Acts. So I encourage you to do that. Before I get started today, I don't see him. Yes, I do see him. We have one of our youth. He just got accepted to play baseball at Bridgewater University. Chris, can you stand up? He's going to be playing baseball. Can we give him a hand clap? Yes. Yes, sir. Love you, man. Good job. Good job. Acts chapter 9. I'm going to read, I'm going to start at verse 10, but we're going to be just covering the entire chapter. The scripture reads, it says, "Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him, in a vision, Ananias," there's an exclamation mark after that, so I had to scream it. "Ananias," he said, "here I am, Lord." My version says, "Yes, Lord." "And the Lord said to him, rise up and go to a street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, have you heard about this man, how evil he has, the evil that he has done to your saints at Jerusalem? And here he has the authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord says, go, for he is my chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. So Ananias departed and went to the house, laying his hands on him. Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus has appeared to you on the road by which you came, and he has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. And then he arose and was baptized, and taking some food, he was strengthened." What a powerful piece of scripture. It's my assignment this morning to preach from the subject, the Holy Spirit equals grace. The Holy Spirit equals grace. And that there's a main idea, a main point that I would like to leave you today. It simply would be the Holy Spirit is God's expression of grace for us and through us. The Holy Spirit is God's expression of grace for us and through us. And as no other passage of Scripture, I see this so illustrated than here in Acts chapter 9. So let's pray. Holy Spirit, grace us. Amen. Amen. Yeah, I pray fast. I'm the guy you want over for Thanksgiving. The passage that we find ourselves in, the book of Acts, which many people call it the Acts of the Holy Spirit, the Acts of the Apostles, we find ourselves in this passage of Scripture, and it's a pivotal time in the book of Acts. It's a turning point. Many would say in the book of Acts because of this man named Saul. He was going around really persecuting the church. We know Saul as the Apostle Paul, but before Paul, who has given us theology, who has given us all the Pauline epistles, who has given us a foundation of how to live a godly life, this guy Paul was named Saul, and he was a persecutor of the church. In fact, he was one of the early church most hideous villains. He was just after God's people. And it's really interesting to think about this passage of scripture, because once we begin to read it, we begin to see how the grace of God through the Holy Spirit is really powerful. And we're beginning to see that whenever we think about grace, we automatically go to Jesus, because rightfully so, Jesus is the one who died for our sins, who redeemed us, who set us free, who transferred us from the kingdom of darkness into the inheritance of the saints. We think about Jesus as being this awesome guy. And when we think about Jesus, we think about grace. But this morning, I want to convince you that when you think about the Holy Spirit, you should also think about grace. And in this passage of scripture, we see Saul, in the first couple of verses, we see that he had gotten permission from the higher ups to go to Damascus and to kill and to capture every single person who calls on of Jesus. He wanted to capture everyone, and he had the papers in his hands. He had the arrest warrants in his hands, basically, and he was looking for anyone who would call on the name of Jesus. And in this passage of scripture, we first see the Holy Spirit as Paul had the papers in his hands, and he's going into Damascus. He's chasing after God's people, but he doesn't know that the Holy Spirit is chasing after him. I'm so glad we serve a Holy Spirit that even if we're not doing right when I walk with God, even if we're actually going against his kingdom, even if we're chasing after our dreams, chasing after our lusts, chasing after religion, chasing after legalism, God, the Holy Spirit is chasing after you this morning. Hey, I think about the Holy Spirit, and we think about the Holy Spirit as a spirit that's with us when our life is okay. And we think about the Holy Spirit that he's with us when we're doing right with God. But no, he is relentlessly chasing after you this morning. And as we begin to respond to the Holy Spirit, we don't respond to a spirit that's just there when everything is going right. We respond to a spirit who is always there, who is chasing after you, who loves you so much, no matter where you're at this morning. Some of you could be so far away from God. Some of you have made mistakes, and you come in this room thinking that the Holy Spirit is nowhere near you this morning. But I want to let you know, no matter where you came from, no matter what you did last night, this morning, or what you're going to do yesterday, what you're going to do tomorrow, it doesn't matter, because he's chasing after you. He's running, and as Saul is going after God's people, God, the Holy Spirit, is going after him. I want to set some of you free this morning, because some of you think that the Holy Spirit is not with you. I promise you, he's chasing. He's running, and he's never going to stop. No matter what struggles you got this morning, and we all have our struggles. We all have our moments where we're not on our A game and living for God. He's still running. He's still chasing. Now Saul, as he is going into Damascus, he's got his papers in his hands, and not sure exactly what moment was really like, but the scripture says Jesus makes this melodramatic appearance, and he kind of moves the clouds, and he just looks down, and I really wasn't there, but I can only imagine Jesus looking down. It was like, Saul, Saul, why are you tripping? What's wrong with you? That's what the TJV says, the Travis Jones version. Saul, what are you doing? Saul just looks back at him and says, I don't know. Who are you, Lord? Saul, he's just in this moment. I mean, all his intellectual, all his legalism, he has nothing to say, but I don't know. You see, one of the things about the Holy Spirit in this passage of scripture and that we find in our own lives, not only is he in relentless pursuit after you, he also rescues you from yourself and religion. Whew. You're talking about religion. You're talking about legalism Paul was dealing with. In fact, you think about who Paul really was. He was this guy who studied under Gamaliel. He was this guy who really studied, and he was one of the higher ups in the kingdom in the Jewish faith. And it was his responsibility, he thought, to protect the Jewish faith because these Jesus people were ruining it. And so he thought that he was doing God's work. He thought that he was doing the right thing. But here's the deal. The difference between religion and relationship. It's the Holy Spirit that makes the difference. And it's the Holy Spirit that breaks you free from religion. You see, whenever you engage in the Holy Spirit, whenever you begin to live a life filled with the Spirit, it's impossible for you to come in this room, get a bulletin, hear a sermon, go back home and live life like it's just a religion, like it's just a routine. It's like Wednesday night. Oh, okay, Sunday morning. We just come to church, but it really doesn't hit our lives. We really don't share the gospel. We really don't really share our faith. It's just this religion type of deal. It's just we don't really connect with God on a daily basis. We don't talk with him. We don't laugh with him. We don't cry with him. It's just religion. And what the Holy Spirit does in this moment is that he breaks the spirit of religion over Saul, and he begins to engage in a relationship with him. He begins to live with him. He begins to be with him. And another thing that the Holy Spirit does is that Holy Spirit reveals Jesus to you. And also that he's alive. Think about Saul. He had no understanding of who Jesus was, and because obviously he was going around killing the people who called on his name. One of the things I love about the Holy Spirit, whenever you know you have the Holy Spirit in your life, because he's always trying to reveal Jesus to you in every situation. And in this moment, the Holy Spirit allows Saul to see Jesus, to be revealed to Jesus. Because you think about it, everyone around Saul at this moment, they have no understanding of what's going on. They have no understanding that this is Jesus talking. In fact, the Bible says that they hear something muddled. They don't hear a clear voice. Saul is the only one who heard this voice. Why? It's because the Spirit of God is always trying to reveal Jesus to you in every situation that you go through in every day of your life. In fact, that's the reason why we stand on a subject and on a theme, on a topic, that we make Jesus the center of every single day life, because the Holy Spirit is always, always trying to reveal Jesus to you. Always trying to reveal Jesus. You want the Holy Spirit in your marriage? He's going to show you Jesus. You want the Holy Spirit in you're going to school? He's going to show you Jesus. You want your Holy Spirit in your job? He's going to show you Jesus. He's going to point you right back to Jesus. He's going to reveal Jesus to you like never before. Whenever you feel like you need a clear vision of who Jesus is, you just tap into that Holy Spirit, and I promise you, he will reveal it to you. And that's why I believe that so many people and so many of the church, we have such this misunderstanding of who Jesus really is, because the Spirit did not reveal it to them. So Saul, he's here and he's just there. And here's this voice. No one knows what's going on. Everyone's shocked. He gets up. And the Bible says that he opened his eyes, but he could not see. Saul was blind. And for the first time of his life, Saul experienced naturally what he was experiencing spiritually his entire life. For the first time of his life, he began to understand, wow, I really am blind. He began to see that God, the Holy Spirit, has begun to open up the curtains of his heart, past religion, past legalism, and to see his blindness. I'm telling you, whenever you engage in the Holy Spirit, he will begin to reveal to you your nastiest parts of your life. He began to open up your heart and show what's really on the inside of there. I know we like to patch it up with religion and nice clothes and a smile on our face, we like to patch up the nastiness of our heart. But really, the Holy Spirit is trying to reveal, is trying to open up the curtain of your heart to show you your blindness. You ever been broken before? Because the Holy Spirit is all about breaking us and building us back piece by piece. Saul is here. He can't see. He's blind. And Saul, he goes into Damascus with papers in his hands, filled with emotions, and now he stumbles into Damascus blind. And can't see. And he has to feel his way around, because that's what blind people do. We're living in a generation where they're just living by their feelings and just feeling their way around. And whenever you are not, you are far away from the Holy Spirit, whenever you are not engaging in the Holy Spirit, you have to just feel your way around. And Saul, who goes into Damascus filled with emotion, zeal, stumbles into Damascus, blind, feeling himself around. Do you understand? I mean, Saul, this is Saul here. And in this moment, this is a weird moment for Saul. Because now he gets up and he begins to understand that this Jesus guy is really alive, and he's starting to turn his heart towards Jesus. And in this moment, it's weird because now Saul is becoming isolated. Now Saul is really all about himself, really, because you think about it, he can't call the temple and the synagogue in which he came from, because he can't. And just imagine that phone call. Hey guys, you remember I'm supposed to go and get all those people who believe in that Jesus. See, what happened was I was on this road, and now I'm one of them. He can't call them. Like, he can't call the church. You know, if he calls the church, he calls Cornerstone Assembly of God. Cornerstone answers the phone. Joyce Smith answers the phone like, hey, welcome to Cornerstone. Hey, I'm Saul. I want to come to your church. No, you can't come. He's the guy who killed all the Christians. You come to our night service. We have an all-night prayer. You'd be the only one there. You'd be the only one there, but hey, you could come on. Just come on in, brother. You could get some prayer. He can't call anyone. He can't call the church. He can't call the synagogues. He can't call anyone. He's isolated. And sometimes when God, the Holy Spirit, is gracing us with his presence and is transforming our lives, sometimes he allows us to go through a period of being alone. And sometimes, here's the deal, a lot of us, we confuse loneliness from being alone. You think about it. Jesus, Luke chapter 4, Matthew chapter 4. Jesus is, he's being baptized, and the Holy Spirit comes on him like a dove. And the Bible says that the Spirit, he drove him to the wilderness alone. Because God was building character in Jesus and building anointing in Jesus. And sometimes Jesus and God, the Holy Spirit, may have you be around people, make you feel alone, because he's just building you. He's building character. He's working with you. He's breaking you and building you up piece by piece. He's pruning you. He's revealing, open up the curtains of your heart and showing you the blindness. So the Bible says that he goes to Judah's house and he's just there. He sits there alone for 3 days. He's thinking about his life, thinking about all the mistakes he's made. This passage of scripture it shows us that the Holy Spirit is the grace for us by his relentless pursuit, by his understanding of rescuing us from ourselves and religion, revealing Jesus to us, and revealing our spiritual blindness. But also in this passage of scripture, we find that the Holy Spirit has graced us so that the grace of the Holy Spirit can go through us. Now, in this passage of scripture, I mean, whoever wrote this, the director of this scene is very interesting, because he begins to switch the theme, because now it was all about Saul. It was all about Saul and what he was doing and how God can rescue him from his spiritual blindness, and how God is chasing after you and he's there for you and he's going to heal you and he loves you and he's just going to be there for you. It's just all about Saul. But now the story makes a turn, a drastic turn, and now it's all about this guy named Ananias that we pick up in verse 10. And the Bible says that God calls, and Ananias is in his house, is hanging out, and God just taps him on his shoulder and says, Ananias! And he says, yes, Lord. You know, as I was preparing for this sermon today, literally, I promise you, I wanted to preach my sermon on yes, Lord. Because it was a yes, Lord, with an exclamation mark after, not a yes, Lord, with a question mark. It wasn't yes, Lord. It was yes, Lord. I'm saying yes to you, whatever, even before you tell me what to do and where to go and who to talk to, I'm saying yes, Lord. And what the Holy Spirit does to you and I is that he gives us the grace and the boldness to say yes to him, even if we don't even know where he's taking us. Have you already said yes to him for your job, for your school, for your family, for your marriage, for your kids? Have you said yes already? A yes that empowers you. A yes that says, you know what, God, no matter where you go, or no matter where you send me, no matter who you send me to, I say yes. And but then God says, yeah, I want you to go to that guy Saul. I bet you Ananias like, God, you sure about that? If it was me, I'd have been like, care? No speaking English. You know, no, you know what I'm saying? As if God don't speak Spanish. You know, I just be like, oh, God, yes, Lord. Hey, I want you to go to the guy Saul. But God, do you know about Saul? Yeah, he's that guy who's killing people like me. And you want me to go to him? Yes, go. Okay. So the Bible says that literally he just goes. I mean, he had no Google Maps. He had no MapQuest. The Bible says he just leaves his house and just goes. It's like the Holy Spirit was telling him, turn right, turn left here. Turn right on Straight Street. I mean, look, he had nothing. The Bible says he just went there. And here we begin to see that God empowers us with the grace of the Holy Spirit, not only for us, but through us, because now Ananias, this random guy, I mean, he's just so random. In fact, the Bible never talks about an Ananias again. Even before this passage, the Bible never even mentioned this Ananias. In chapter 5 of Acts, there's another Ananias. He died. But this Ananias here, he's here. And so this is the only time that the Bible mentions this Ananias. He's this random guy. If it was me, I probably would have chose Peter because he had zeal. He was a fighter. So if Saul got his sight back and he wanted to fight, Peter was able to fight back. Maybe I would have chose Apollos because Apollos in that day was one of the most eloquent speakers. He was able to persuade so many people to come to the faith. I would have also chose James. James, I mean, he was the one who was one of the leaders of the early church. I would have chose John, the beloved one, the one who sat under Jesus' bosom. I would have chose any of these people, but God chose Ananias. Because he wants you and I to know, whenever we've been hit and rocked by the Holy Spirit, he can use you to change people's lives. And one of the things, especially for the Pentecostal movement, we have, a lot of times we just keep this grace of the Holy Spirit in us. But the Bible says, no, don't just keep it in you. It's not just for you, but it's for people around you. Ananias goes to this house, Judah's house, and Ananias is like, I can imagine Ananias having a conversation with God. Okay, God, he's blind, right? He's like blind, so he can't see a thing. So he won't remember my face. Could you imagine that? I mean, could you imagine him going to this house? He knocks on Judas' door. Hey, my name is Ananias. And God sent me here for this guy named Saul. If he's not here, that's cool. It's okay. It's cool. He's here. He's blind. He can't see him. So he's still blind. Sweet. But is he here? Yeah, he's in the back. He hasn't talked in 3 days. He hasn't eaten in 3 days. I mean, he's just here. Well, Judas says to Ananias, so what are you doing here? Someone I know sent me to talk to him. So can you imagine Ananias? Can you imagine walking down that hallway, going into that back room in the back? And he opens the door. There Saul was, praying, lonely.
first words that came out of Ananias' mouth, I was flabbergasted. Because he says, "Brother Saul." See, when you have the Holy Spirit in you, he turns your foes to your friends. Brother Saul. I mean, he had to be speaking as though, you know, he had to be speaking into existence, because Saul at this moment, we're not sure where his heart's at with God, but he called him a brother. It shows us our relationship with the world around us, with our coworkers who have nothing to do with God, our family members who are far away from God, our friends. Brother Saul. See, in this passage, we see that the Holy Spirit empowers ordinary people, encourages us through our fear, and evangelize a lost and broken world. I want to invite the worship team to come up at this time. In this passage of Scripture, we see Saul. He's there. He's alone. And Ananias comes. "Brother Saul, hey, I've been sent here by Jesus. The Holy Spirit has led me here. I want to pray for you." So he prays for this guy. He begins to pray for this guy. And the Bible says it's like scales that came off his eyes. Literally, it was like scales. Like, I mean, he received his sight. He could see again. And as we close today, I want to leave you with this one thought. I'm really, a lot of times in the Scriptures we see numbers meaning something and names meaning something. One of the things that really struck me, that if you take the name Saul, it simply means to be acts of God. To be acts of God. And if you take the name Ananias, it's the Greek word for a Hebrew word, Hananias. And it means that God has dealt graciously with. And if you combine the both, you see that if you have been asked by God, he's going to send you someone who has been dealt graciously with. And I believe today that the Holy Spirit wants to deal with you graciously. He wants to restore you. He wants to break you. He wants you to know that he's there, that he loves you. But also, he wants you to go to the one who has been asked by God. Would you? God, the Holy Spirit, wants to grace you. It's for you. He wants to build you. He wants to walk with you. He wants to do everything. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, the Galatians, they got so filled with the Spirit and they were doing great things. But then Paul says that after a while, they began to walk away from the Spirit and live by flesh and live by the flesh and live by their own works. They were trying to build a church with their own flesh. They were trying to live their Christian life on their own. And God says, no, go back to the Holy Spirit. We see in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, that the Holy Spirit searches all things and he reveals all things to us. Reveals it all. The Holy Spirit is for you. I promise it's for you. He loves you. He loves you so much. He wants you to engage in the Holy Spirit because he is relentlessly chasing after you. He loves you. But also, he wants you, the one who has been dealt graciously with, to go to the world who's been asked about God. Who's our Saul? We all have Sauls. Could be on your teams. Sarah Brockett could be on your field hockey team. Emily on your running team. Cloud could be one of your customers. Anthony could be one of the persons you knock on the door to do the work and all that stuff, and they're far away from God. Who is your Saul? It's interesting. Saul did nothing until Ananias came. is a world who's broken, who's blind, and need ordinary people who has been dealt graciously by the Holy Spirit to go change the world. Could you all bow your heads in this moment? Some of you in this room, you may have been encouraged. Some of you may have been convicted in this room. And if you are in this room, you say to yourselves, you know what, Pastor Travis, I've been living this life, this Christian life on my own, apart from the Holy Spirit. If that's you in this room, we want to pray for you. Because, you know what, we don't want you living life like Saul, thinking you're doing the will of God and you're really not. You're hurting God's people, you're hurting yourself and everyone else around you. So that's you today. We just want you, just real fast, an act of faith. That's you today. We want you to raise your hands and just put it down. That's you right now. Just raise your hand and put it down. That's you. You've been living out the Holy Spirit. Yes, I see those hands. I see them. I see them. Amen. If you're in this room today, you say, you know what? I need to give my life to Jesus. That's you today. Would you raise your hand just really fast and put it down? See those hands. Yes. Amen. Amen. Praise God. This moment, I want to invite the prayer ministers, deacons, elders, pastors to come up to the front. And we're just going to have some altar time. I finished a little bit early today, so we got some time to really engage in this Holy Spirit so he can fill us right now to go back to the world, so he can change us. He can deal with the sins in our own hearts. He can deal with our own blindness, and also he can empower you to go to work tomorrow, to go to your homes today, and so you can be empowered to make a change in the people around your life. So if one of you, if either people, you raise your hand this morning or you feel like you need some prayer, we want you to come up and receive prayer. It's an act of faith. No, God will still bless you. The Holy Spirit is with you right now. He still bless you. But as you walk up here, it's literally an act of faith saying, you know what, God? It's like what Ananias says, yes, Lord. You walking up here is you saying, yes, Lord. I don't know what you're calling me to. I don't know who you're calling me to. I don't know what you want me to do, but yes, Lord. Would you come? That's you today. Come right now. Come right now. Yes. Let's give these people a hand clap as they come. Come on. Yes, Lord. Secondly, is this. We want to encourage you guys. So if you feel like you need a touch from God, that's you in this room today. We want you to come up too. Come on, come on, come up. Don't let fear hold you down. Let's say yes, Lord, right now. So as we pray and as we stand in worship, I want to challenge you to come up to the front to receive prayer, to receive the filling of the Holy Spirit so he can empower you, so he can break you and build you back up. He can expose your sin. He can really grace you this morning, and he can empower you to be an awesome witness for God. So could you stand with me this moment? Let's worship.